Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Room for a small one, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Bet365. I'm bloody well back. Jim's here too.
Hello.
Luke's here.
Welcome back, Marcus.
And Pete's back in the naughty chair.
Thank Christ. Hawking him.
Oh, it takes four to do this tango, ladies and gentlemen.
On the pod.
La 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 la.
Spellsy's on the pod.
La 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 la. Thank you very much.
There we go. The proper welcome back.
I do appreciate that.
If it's good enough for Donaldson, it's good enough for Speller.
I didn't get a little sing-song when I started.
You always get a sing-song.
When do I get a sing-song?
Having a little sing-song.
Having a little sing-song. Yeah, you started, Marcus, but when you weren't here, they were rather rude to me. And I want you to put that down on the knot and give it to the headmaster.
So this show will be an hour-long airing of grievances.
When is it not?
Because Jim's got a few as well.
That's why I went to Argentina.
Yeah, yeah. Get out of there.
On the run.
I hope you didn't cry for me, though, ladies and gentlemen.
We did that joke on the continent. It didn't work then.
No, I didn't say that line. Oh, well right. Played, though. I wondered if people would pick up on it.
And there's nothing wrong with promoting a sister show. I think we could all agree on that.
Yeah, indeed. Indeed. I'm going to start doing the Argentinian beef show.
Yeah. Any good?
Oh, magnificent.
How many beefs did you... How much of a cow did you eat out there?
Yeah.
An awful lot. Do you know, it was quite funny. I went out to see a good friend
of
mine.
Is it biopsy-sized? Like, could we cut it off the cow and still survive?
Well, we give away the amount of meat you ate as a prize?
Meat raffle. Yeah. A Marcus Speller meat raffle. Yeah. Lovely.
Marcus's meat raffle. There's a spin-off. Better than the beef show.
It's a spin-off of something, Jim, but we'll leave that there. But, yeah, my good friend, as you know, I went out to see... old Nicholas, and there was a photo of us outside the butcher's, which was the first going to get some of this Argentinian meat. And in the corner of this photograph, there was a man with a dead cow over his shoulder walking into the butcher's, just stocking up the place.
Found one.
The Rock.
Killed it.
Killed it. Big.
He must have been strong then.
Yeah.
Oh, tell you what, they don't mess around down there.
Did you muck in? Is it like a scene from Rocky?
Well, we bought some of the cow.
Yeah.
So I like to think I've mucked in a way, because if we didn't do that, the whole system breaks down, doesn't it?
Well done, mate.
Yeah.
You are an angel investor.
Somebody needs to
plan those cows, if you will.
Yeah.
An angel with a clean face.
Yeah.
But yes, indeed. Yeah. But so much has changed since I've been away. You know, Paul Lambert's back, Ryan Giggs.
Football's been taken over by robots.
Indeed. Yeah. Ryan Giggs is Wales manager. Man City not unbeaten in Arsenal, losing to lesser opposition on the road and selling their best players. So much has changed.
To talk about. Yeah.
Go back to South America.
Yeah. They will have me back, Jim.
It's what they said to Nelson Vivas.
Yeah. Oh, dear. Well, gentlemen, let's start with some red-hot FA Cup action, because Chelsea were in action indeed against Norwich City, and they caused a little bit of VAR controversy. Well, I say that's harsh to say Chelsea caused that controversy.
Can I put it a slightly different way?
Yes.
It was quite a boring game until Chelsea completely lost their shit.
And then the referee lost his shit.
It was unbelievable.
And then VAR lost its shit.
I got to the point in the evening where, you know, it's going to extra time. It's going to, obviously, it did eventually go to penalties. But I got to the point of the evening, which everyone in this room and beyond will be familiar with, where you've watched quite a boring game. Mm. It's getting to about 10 o'clock and you think, I can't get up for anything now. Yeah. It's too late. I'm looking forward to a book and bed. And then all that started happening. My body didn't know how to react. It was like football jet lagged me.
Yeah.
And before we knew it, we were back on the roller coaster. Chelsea players were diving all over the place. And yes, they were diving. Don't email in. And and it all went crazy. Mm. I bloody enjoyed the last portion of that game.
Yeah, it was all right, wasn't it? Did Willian dive?
No, that was a penalty.
No, that was a penalty. Yeah, just to clarify that.
Even seeing that in real time, though, that seemed really obvious.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That seemed a strange one to have become
exactly.
The lightning rod.
But Jim, as someone in this room, I mean, let's not bog ourselves down with the VAR thing. We have talked about it on The Constant, so we don't need to do that. But Jim, as a man in the room who has probably been, I don't know if your position's changed, but has probably been the most effusive in praise for the introduction of it, did you not think, what chance have we got of getting this right and smoothly introducing it if... As we heard on the commentary, the VAR official decides that, there was nothing wrong with that decision. I mean, it's a clear penalty.
Was that not the referee not choosing to use VAR because he saw it?
The commentator came on and said, a miscarriage of justice or whatever, something
right,
like that, enough for it to be changed. That was right. I did hear that, didn't I?
Yeah, no, I forget the exact wording of it, but it needs to be sort of like a clear and obvious decision, doesn't it?
Right. That's right.
I think that's an absolutely textbook example of that. And I guess the problem is, it's just moved the goalpost. You've put another block in the way of human error. Do you know what I mean? I don't understand how anyone watching that, when we all saw it in real time and thought it was a penalty, I don't see how you look at that as a replay and think it's not.
No.
It's baffling to me.
This was one of the points that I don't want to reiterate it because I said it yesterday on The Continent, but it will cause even more frustration because if the referee can't give the referee the benefit of the doubt with that kind of thing. You can't say, well, the speed of the game, the anger he has.
Yeah.
When
he's looking right at it, isn't he?
When he looks right at it and he thinks, or somebody in the stands or whatever is looking right at it through VAR and goes, no, that's not a penalty.
Yeah.
The problem is he was already going down, but he had every right to go down, et cetera, because he wasn't tripped. The foot was there. He could easily win his team a penalty. The problem with how they administrate the actual rules of the laws of the game is that players have to throw themselves on the floor to get the penalty. No, when was the last time we got given a penalty when the player stood on his feet?
Yeah, I can't
just
think
never,
of it.
It just never happens.
Some handball ones.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, we've had a very small pool of games that have had the VAR on it, so it could just be that this is an anomaly, where they have just dropped an absolutely huge stinker and that won't be representative.
The problem is it's an early anomaly.
Yeah, very much so.
My fear is that, Matt, did the referee see it, go, I'm not quite sure, which to me is wrong because I thought it was a penalty, but it's easy for me to say, but did he see it and was his thought process, well, if I get this wrong, the VAR's going to pick it up, so don't worry about it. If that is the case, dangerous.
Complacency could make things worse in terms of referees being confident in their decisions.
I mean, the first VAR decision, which was the offside in the match the day before, Iheanacho scoring the goal, it does undermine the linesman for the rest of the game.
Yeah,
because if they basically say, "Well, he wasn't offside. You called it offside." What can that linesman do? I mean, this is a very new technology. You've got to sort of study how it affects the psyche of the actual officials as well. I think, in a certain extent. What I would say is, shall we have a female referee? Nah, we'll do robots first.
Yeah, I think referees should just be.
Our last black
drones.
Referee was Uriah Rennie. Nah, we'll have some robots instead. Good.
Get some drones flying around the pitch, and we'll do it like that. And Jonathan Pearce will be much happier.
Is there a way to? Could the laws be interpreted in such a way that Pedro could be sent off for that dive rather than just a yellow? Because that was really ungentlemanly conduct, let's be fair. Let's be absolutely fair. I know he eventually walked anyway, but he had to endanger the life of another player before he did
something. Well, is that like the opposite of violent conduct?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's like the other scale.
I'm pretty sure there is an ungentlemanly conduct type.
Definitely, there is, and that is like, how dare you? Dare you try to make me believe that was real?
And also,
that is very ungentlemanly.
I'd also really love to know, it's probably not something we're going to be able to mention on the show, but I would really love to know exactly what Alvaro Morata said to get the old red. You don't see that happen very often.
That is true. I mean, it was very quick red. I think the referee had just given one red. He was booking players for diving, you know, a fair few times. Mm. Obviously, with the William one would be the obvious example, and that one he got wrong. And then I think with Morata said something, and it was just a case of, it's a long night, I've had enough.
Yeah, well, maybe Morata's going, that robot's better than you, and it's shit.
Yeah. And Jonathan Pearce is going, robots!
I think, though, Pete makes a good point, but it will underline the referee's assistant, a.k.a. the linesman. So will we see in the future, if there's a split offside decision, you look over to the line, or he's just having a cigarette and goes, just look at VAR.
Yeah, just look at VAR. Well, that's what I said, though, like, just if you're going to have this kind of, just have a referee on the field to deal with fights, and then just referee everything off the field.
No, you have the linesman going up and down the side of the pitch like the rabbits at racing tracks. So there's like really
setting
fast.
The pace.
They stay in line
and
Raheem's
some sort of chasing after him.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Imagine that. Maybe that, could that be workable? You understand computers? I think it will be done with wires and chips, Pete.
You need to refine the idea, Jim. But come back and we'll listen to you.
Right. I actually thought, because Norwich scored the goal so late on.
It was a lovely goal.
Yeah, it was. I wondered whether Chelsea thought, I can't be arsed with this. They were already, I think they were already set on the idea they were going to close the game out.
Yeah.
To rouse yourself for another half an hour and then go even further than that and actually win it on penalties, I thought was actually quite impressive. Given they've had a lot of problems with goals recently and there's been a lot of stuff behind the scenes going on that's probably going to come out in the future.
I think Conte would was in a situation where he's like, I really don't want to risk any of my players. He threw
Hazard on, though.
What I mean. So throwing Hazard on was like a bit of a desperate out, but he really wanted to see that game out, and it was annoying.
They couldn't get past Gunn. He was firing on all cylinders.
He was great.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed his goalkeeping, really important stops.
Yeah. But the most important one was from Willy Caballero, of course. He loves it, doesn't he?
Nice.
The hero in a penalty shootout again.
I don't know if it completely passed me by that Caballero had gone to Chelsea.
Yeah.
he's not really been seen much.
It's one of those ones. I forgot about it. And I don't know why. I love it. It's a weird one where you get almost like a professional number two, but at a series of really big clubs. Yeah. Very specialist thing.
Pete.
It was just nice to see the lawn, Newcastle United lawn target for the transfer window, Kennedy, get a match.
Oh, yeah.
See what we're up against.
Get a loan.
He looks like another Ben Arthur, doesn't he?
It's all that you can afford. Get a loan.
You need a different type of loan, I think.
My goodness.
Speaking of people who were linked in some way even before to Newcastle United, Andy Carroll. Terrible link. What? I'm a bit rusty.
meaty, mate.
Indeed, yeah.
I've got the meat sweats.
I've still got jet lag. I've got beef lag. Andy Carroll, has he gone to Chelsea yet?
Amazing.
I've only been away 2.5 weeks.
I'm enjoying austerity Chelsea. Just these stories, it's like, what?
It does seem like some sort of beef dream, doesn't it?
I love that Andy Carroll's like thought about it and thought, you know what, I haven't had my fingers burnt at Liverpool.
Yeah.
I am going to go to the big club again and not play.
It's an incredible thing.
I said he's an excellent footballer.
You have said, yeah. You want him playing for England, don't you?
Craig Bellamy was laying into him in the wake of this, saying that he's just, you know, from what you saw of him at Liverpool, he just doesn't have the attitude to do this, because he started training heavily in the gym when he was coming back from injury, and then started feeling stiff from the gym, so stopped going to the gym. Which is, you know, for a professional footballer, is absolutely incredible. Mm. And that there's talk that he's reporting an ankle injury and West Ham can't find anything with the scans, which might be because he doesn't want to play so he can get this move through. Yeah. But, I mean, I don't know what Andy Carroll's body is like, but most footballers pretty much have some sort of knock all the time, don't they? Yeah. There's constantly something that doesn't feel completely right because of what you do. But I get the impression some players can consider that to mean that they are injured and need recovery time. And maybe Andy Carroll's one of those people. Maybe he's like, his head isn't right enough to accept that as part of what he has to do and just soldier on.
So you do get players, as far as I understand it, you do get players with different attitudes towards injury and to whether they feel they can play.
And pain, almost.
I remember that someone said to me once that Arjen Robben would always, I mean, I don't know if it's still the case now, but would always refuse to play. He wasn't like 100% right. But then you hear other players, was it Dejan Lovren recently said, if you've waited till you're 100% fit, you would never play a game.
Yeah. So, but I mean,
Andy Carroll has got a body. I think because he's...
We can all agree on that.
We can confirm that.
Absolutely.
No, next subject, move on.
All right.
Andy Carroll does have, you know, he plays in quite a high impact position, in a high impact sport. And he's a big unit. He's put a lot of pressure on his joints over and over again. It's not a coincidence that he's always out injured, and that's really why it's surprising that Chelsea would want him, because clearly he's got something to offer, right? Conte doesn't really. Morata's out of form. He looks bereft of confidence. He's finding it hard. Mm. He started off well, but he's finding it hard to adjust. He doesn't rate Batshuayi. He wants him gone. He doesn't really have.
He tried to get in Llorente, didn't he?
Yeah, I think he did.
I know Llorente has a bit more to his game than say Andy Carroll, but Carroll's still a decent player. But I can see why he may.
He's being linked with Llorente now.
Right,
and that's come alive again. I can't see Spurs selling for Chelsea.
I do sort of think you look at how Yusuf Fellaini's been for Manchester United. They'd probably just use him like that. Just a wrecking ball, kind of like chaos kind of figure.
And
why in the last 10 minutes
to go. It's good. Well, it's a place for those players.
Give him some knockdowns. Lovely.
I think
the problem is, though, and I'm sort of trying to separate the argument out a bit. Carroll has got something to offer. But the point is, he can't.
If he can stay fit.
He's played about 45. I think he's made about 45 starts for West Ham in the last 3 or 4 seasons. He's not someone who's always available. That's the problem. And I know that Chelsea are in this new era now where they want to balance the books and all the rest of it. And maybe that's why they're not going after a Aubameyang, for example, who is available and who is a top flight striker and can really push Morata. But to me, it seems strange they're going for Carroll. And to me, maybe it's a cost-cutting exercise because he's not going to be, relatively speaking, as much money as someone else would
be. Well, Chelsea did get... Oh, sorry.
Well, I imagine, like, contract-wise, he possibly might be... Not on a pay-to-play, but maybe if he's injured, he doesn't get quite as much money as he usually would get. I don't know which stupid football agent would actually sign that kind of deal. But with Andy Carroll, it's a concern. And I think if you're Chelsea and you're trying to save money, you could possibly save a bit of money with a deal like that, possibly.
Well, even without Andy Carroll, which they're going to be without this weekend, Chelsea popped down to Brighton this weekend, and the Seagulls are 9-2 to upset the apple cart with Bet365 and do the business. £10 returns £55, including stake.
Well, Chelsea, I've seen Seagulls upset an apple cart in Brighton as well, and it is, yeah, not, it is not pretty.
No, they're vicious. They are vicious. Yeah.
We want to say that, see that, but Chelsea did get Ross Barkley, of course, and they will be relieved because the mayor of Liverpool. Joe Anderson, not some bloke on Twitter, the mayor of Liverpool. Obviously, I think...
He might be on Twitter as well.
No, but he's just not some bloke on Twitter.
But he could be both. I'm just saying, it's not mutually exclusive.
Yeah, to be honest, based on his actions, he's very much both.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, others may not define him as that, but perhaps we will, because his request, of course, for a police inquiry about that transfer has been turned down, according to the police and everybody else who glanced at this. No evidence that a criminal offence has occurred. So there we are.
All right.
It's been put to bed.
Yeah, an excellent use of time.
I didn't need to be woken up, really.
In 50 years' time, who knows, the secrets may...
The mayor also said he realised what he'd done, I think. Yeah. And I think he tried to save
face. Too late.
No, he said I've had a response from the police saying I don't think there's anything criminal.
Why are you wasting our time?
But, hang on a minute, Pete. Right. I think you're going to have egg on your face in a moment.
Okay.
But they said they have written to the Football Association to let them know that if their own investigations unearth anything, just let us know.
Just let us know. Yeah.
It sounds like a sort of regional cop show, doesn't it? A detective that's also a mayor.
You can imagine him calling up and going, no, but I'm the mayor.
Yeah.
You should really do it. I've seen these 80s American films. Mm-hmm. You should be doing what I say. I love your badge. And your gun. We haven't got a gun. You know what I mean?
I'm getting a lot of pressure from the pen pusher at City Hall.
Yeah.
You're all fired.
Is he the mayor of Everton?
Yeah.
Maybe that's where the confusion has arisen.
It did tellingly say in every single news report, Mayor of Liverpool and lifelong Evertonian.
Yeah. Wonderful.
Well,
there we are. Let's move on to Manchester United. Jose Mourinho and Manchester United have all but signed Alexis Sanchez at the time of recording. If that deal collapses, no doubt it will do the moment we turn the microphones off, or something will happen. But presuming they get Sanchez, because even Wenger admitted today it's likely to happen, Mourinho will be rather pleased with himself, because this was a player that Manchester City have wanted. Yeah. Now, Manchester City have dropped their interest. Okay, fair enough. But the fact is, at some point, recently, they wanted him, and it looks like Manchester United are going to have it. And Mourinho, that's a big win for him.
Guardiola was like, he said he didn't want to play for us anymore. We don't want him now. He wasn't dedicated.
It's such a weird... Why wouldn't they push the boat out? If you bought him on the open market, let's say, and he was in contract, he'd be like a £100 million player, surely, wouldn't he?
I find Sanchez and his agent's actions, as far as I understand them, quite distasteful, because Alexis Sanchez and his agent have essentially known that there's a deal there to Man City, but they've remained open to Man United, where of course they're going to get more money, because Man United are going to offer them a ridiculous amount of money. I think City balked a bit at the agent fee and signing on fee and different bits and pieces. I find it distasteful, because if you're Alexis Sanchez, you've got enough money, right? You've got a chance to be a part of it. And with respect to Man United, they're not going to win the league this season.
Well, they're 12 points behind, and we've seen them overturn a 12-point deficit before.
I will put any, that is true. That is
that
true.
Is rude.
I will put any amount of money on it that
not
may missed
not
you.
Have
been in the league this season. But Sanchez has got a chance to be a part of potentially a great squad. Mm. A Champions League winning squad.
Mm. All the things almost, that he whinged about at Arsenal.
Yeah, almost be a part of a legacy which has never occurred at that club before. Now, I know they've won a few different bits and pieces, but they've never had a proper legacy City.
Yes, but
in the modern age.
But he would also be playing, if I can cut in for a sec, he'd also be playing for a fantastic side who have got players in every position, and he would have to very much compete for his place. He might not be guaranteed a starting position, and he's experienced this under Pep Guardiola before.
True.
So that will be in his mind as well. But I take the point. But at Manchester United, he'd probably be the best player, or at least one of
them. Well, he'd be the big dog.
Well, along with Pogba, yeah.
Yeah. But also, you would think, though, that he'll play with more freedom at City. You know, the system would genuinely suit him so much better. Mm. And I don't know how Mourinho's planning to accommodate him. Obviously, Mourinho's very good at getting in players' ears and making them feel very, very wanted when he wants them. So, you know, perhaps that's not how he's viewing it. But it does, from a football point of view, it seems like a strange choice as well.
Mm. Yeah, I agree. I think that's right.
Part of his reasons for moving is a colossal payday. And yeah.
The money is unreal.
He's going to get it, and he probably deserves it. This will be his biggest contract.
29 years old.
He's 29 years old. He's probably got... like two more contracts in him at that kind of level of cash. So yeah,
no, whatever. This will probably be the last one.
Well, this will be the bigger of those two.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. The big daddy.
Yeah,
and then PSG.
The Manchester Evening News is reporting that he's going to be earning $25.5 million a year.
Lovely old job, isn't
it? Before tax at United.
Let's tax him.
Let's hit him with the old tax man.
It's like $490,000 a week before tax or something.
Phenomenal.
Would you like to invest in a podcast for tax purposes?
I love it when you read out that sum of money, everyone just takes a second to go.
Yeah. It's
the words a week.
I know, right.
No other people, apart from footballers, measure themselves in weekly wages.
It's like sometimes in the tabloids, if they like break it down to a day,
an hour, a minute.
Yeah.
This man.
Yeah. You hear that?
How much is that in Kit Kats?
Yeah. Yeah.
I can burp 50 quid's worth of Sanchez's money.
The most disappointing thing for me was when I made that bold Nostradamus prediction about Mourinho leaving the club.
Yeah.
Apparently he's going to sign a new contract. Yeah. So it'll be even more surprising when he goes.
When I heard that prediction, when I was listening from afar, I thought, oh, I like that. And I will back Luke. And then I saw that Mourinho is about to sign a contract extension that runs until 2021. But then, as Luke says, sometimes that doesn't mean too much with these kind of situations.
I like that you thought to yourself, I like that. And then I saw all the evidence.
Yeah.
And now I don't like that.
Until we walked into the courtroom, I was with you.
Yeah.
You said yourself, you come back, Paul Lambert's managing Stoke. Football's weird.
It is.
Yeah, football's very weird. In 2 months, this will all be different.
It's incredibly true. Another weird thing, Man United away to Burnley this weekend. They only played them a few weeks ago. Mm. It's that little funny one, isn't it? You often get a fixture or two like that in the league. Burnley, they're not scoring too many goals at the moment, of course, but one of the few times this season they did score two goals or more in a game was at Old Trafford.
Ah.
It was at Old Trafford. But they're not scoring too many. Man United aren't conceding many. So it's all odds on for a classic.
Yeah, Burnley have really improved. As has been mentioned, they've been they've really improved their form away from home. But more recently, they've not been that good. They're having a bit of a quite Burnley-sized wobble, as you would expect, given how high they've been flying so far this season. But they're 11-2 to beat Man United at Turf Moor this weekend. So £10 on that with Bet365 will return £65, including stake.
Do you think that's just the case that, you know, they had a very, very good run at an early time in the season that has kind of perhaps disguised their realistic level, and that's kind of just sort of, you know.
Well, that's what it has. They're still in a decent position. If you take Watford, for example, they've obviously dropped off quite a bit, and I think, you know, Palace, who obviously started horrendously, are only, a point behind Watford, or certainly a point or two behind
Watford.
Yeah. So you're right about Burnley, but they're still in, what are they, seventh or eighth position, so it's not all bad.
I did find a very good stat. You'll love this, Pete. You love an insightful stat going into this game. So this will be Sean Dyche's 100th Premier League match as a manager, right? And the last three managers whose 100th match in the Premier League came against Man United have all won them. Should be Mick McCarthy with Wolves, Roy Hodgson with Fulham, and Steve McClaren with Middlesbrough. So why even turn up Man United?
Yeah, I know. Digging that out.
I know.
Like, what kind of variable in a database does that? Like, how have they pulled that out of their arse?
I love Sean Dyche's like dogged determination to stick to what he wants to do, because the Premier League is always like market. It's the most entertaining league in the world, and you know, you never know what you're going to get. Burnley played 23, scored 19, conceded 20. How we do it. That's how we do it around this part of the world. Thank you very much.
He does what he wants, and that was backed up by former Bristol City striker Søren Andersen recently, who said in the media about Sean Dyche, who he used to play with at Bristol City, former teammates, of course. He reckons Dyche has his gravelly voice because he used to eat earthworms.
Yeah, a few people emailed that in. I mean,
I don't know how that could be the case, though, because earthworms are very smooth, aren't they?
Yeah. No, but they're likely to be covered in dirt and perhaps grit and gravel. So if you eat enough of them, you're perhaps going to damage your vocal cords.
You'd give them a rinse, wouldn't you?
if you're thinking that far ahead, surely you don't eat them at all.
Yes.
You'd give them a rinse.
I'd give it a rinse if it were me.
Well, have you seen that the quotes from this. Have you seen the story? It's phenomenal.
And Andersen said, every time we trained, he used to eat worms. It was like, whoops, there's a worm, and then he ate it.
Which is...
Which gives demented behaviour.
It gives the impression that that's a compulsion. And I mean, would would we then have seen that in a match? If what, like, do that? Do you get earthworms on a football pitch? I don't know.
You wouldn't on Deso now, but maybe back in the day you would. But maybe it's a ploy from Dyche to do it in front of the manager, so the manager thinks, I ain't dropping him, he's mad.
Yeah. Well, actually, crazy if I drop him. One of the other quotes was, there were always these worms around, and everybody always commented on it as being disgusting and complained a bit. So I think maybe it was a kind of provocation, and to show us that it wasn't something we should focus on or care about, he just ate one or two.
Oh, because that'll be off your mind, wouldn't it?
But in the same sense, though, what a leader.
Now I'm worried about
worms everywhere. I will destroy the worms for you and we will kick on.
But on the other side of that, Jim, it's like, oh yeah, that'll make me forget about worms. A bloke eating them, that's going to make me remember it more.
And every time I see a worm, I'm going to be reminded of bloody worms.
Yeah.
I won't pass him down in case he sees a worm.
Yeah.
Do you want to see my earthworm?
No.
maybe
big mouth. Definitely. Whoa.
Maybe they're still in there.
Yeah.
Maybe them wriggling around is what creates that sound.
Oh dear.
Well, it's probably really good for you.
Speaking of
probably really good for you.
Marginal gains, mate.
Protein.
Protein. Yeah, it is protein.
You know, protein.
Just like Argentinian steak.
Probably protein. Very lean protein. Speaking of a lean protein, man.
speaking of lean protein and wriggly things, it's time for correspondence with that man, Pete Donaldson.
It is time for correspondence with that man, Pete Donaldson. Was actually going to do a little bit of Sean Dyche, thanks to John Kershaw, but we've covered that.
How do you feel of being back in the email chair?
It's confusing. I don't like it.
No.
I'm adjusting to so many new ideas. Yeah. It's only been a couple of shows, but never mind.
Yeah, this chair system we've got is very confusing.
I can't believe you're sat in a chair shaped like an email.
A big fax machine. Freddie the Pompey fan has been in touch. He really enjoyed Angus Gunn making some great saves against Chelsea on Wednesday night. I was informed that his father, Brian Gunn, a legendary Norwich keeper himself, of course, had opened the original fur seal pool at Banham Zoo in Norfolk.
Nice one.
An enclosure, I've been told by my zoo nerd father, is rather pleasant.
That's a nice one, that.
That's a nice one, isn't it? That's lovely.
Yeah.
James Beer says, on Tuesday night, Reading, a team who have played in blue and white since their inception, took on Stevenage at the Majerski Stadium. For some reason, unbeknownst to everyone apart from the Stevenage kit man, he brought along their blue away kit to the game, clashing with Reading's home kit.
That's excellent.
The first half went ahead with John Daddy Budvarsson scoring a couple of goals in Reading's blue and white home kit. Whilst the first half was being played, Reading's kit man went back to the training ground, retrieving their orange away jerseys to wear for the second half. In the second half, in a fresh orange jersey, Budvarsson scored another, completing his hat-trick, scoring different goals in the same game in two different jerseys.
That's amazing.
That's big, isn't it? Now, there's a stat I can get behind.
Great bit of trivia.
Can you recall any instances where... Well, no is the answer there, James. Like, definitely not. What have we got? We've got an email from Tony Kale.
Oh, go on, Tone.
Yeah, yeah.
Tony Kale.
Oh, okay.
Tony Kale.
So is that like a vegetarian Tony Gale?
I'm not listening, subscribing to this podcast anymore. I've got some music for this, hang on. I'm not listening to or subscribing to this podcast anymore. You've made far, far too many anti-Trump comments. I ignored the first couple because I enjoyed the show so much. It's absurd since this is a football podcast based in the UK. If I was listening to any other podcast that was US-based, then I, of course, would not be shocked by triggered liberals making comments against President Trump. Believe me, I'm used to the bombardment of lies / brainwashing that the liberal media spews out. However, I listen to football podcasts like yours to escape that extremely biased media I have to deal with here in the US. But I can't escape it, I guess. It's funny. If it wasn't for Brexit, then I'd worry all the Brits were triggered liberals like you guys. I strongly suggest you keep politics out of your show. Tony Kale there.
Just a chat. Hit me back.
This is Stan.
Tony Gale's really gone down.
Wow. Tony Gale. Yeah.
I can't believe Tony Gale has got time for that.
Veggie Gale.
I know.
Unbelievable.
The great thing is, the one thing we do know about email complainers is that he will absolutely listen to this show.
Yeah.
So you'll hear that.
And probably keep listening.
Thank you for your email, Tony.
You weirdo.
And if you want to get involved, he's not a weirdo. Well, he is a weirdo. Show@thefootballramble.com if you want to get involved. That's show@thefootballramble.com. And we can talk about whatever the fuck we want, to be quite frank, Tony. Have a good day.
Let's make the Football Ramble great again in the second half after this.
I'm triggered! Ah!
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more.
One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Donaldson, where's your trousers?
Oh, they're covering his bottom, Jim White. Now, in the January transfer window thus far, Arsenal have sold Theo Walcott, Francois Coquelin, and Alexis Sanchez is impending.
Is it Francois? I thought it was Francis Coquelin.
It is Francis. It is.
Okay, right.
Just French in him.
Francois Mitterrand Coquelin.
You can never have too much French.
I don't think so.
As Arsenal would say, probably,
yeah,
presumably.
Yeah. Indeed, yeah.
Frankie Cox.
La, 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 la.
Wenger said that this transfer window has been more disturbing and destabilising for Arsenal than any other one.
Yeah. Is it encouraging that now the Emirates Stadium is finished?
Sorry, I've just realised you have a mocking Arsenal stance.
I get into
like,
the...
Oh, do you? Right. Move into a particular... How, a bit of body language.
It's like to come and get me aardvark.
Chest goes out, head goes up. It's weird, sorry.
Sometimes I think...
I'm so used to this. And it's not your fault. That's the most annoying thing.
I don't know what I'd do with that Arsenal sometimes.
Well, so before you make your point, we should just give this a little bit of colour as well.
Oh, really? Can I really just say...
Well, allow me.
Okay,
because,
all right, okay.
Because, you know, the sold Theo Walcott, Coquelin, obviously, and Alexis Sanchez is about to go. No word on Mkhitaryan just yet. But Arsenal, they have brought in Greek defender Konstantinos Mavropanos from PAS Giannina, and he's got a few caps at under 21 level for Greece. So I just wanted to,
straight out on loan.
As we said, straight out on loan.
One for the future. No, he's actually keeping him now. He impressed in training.
Oh, is he? Impressed in training. Yeah. He bought him! That's fun. Yeah. Oh, he's thought we bought a right old bonfire.
Yeah.
Dumpster fire.
Anyway, Luke.
Well, maybe that's what he's doing. He's trying to undermine the next guy.
Oh, he's got two legs and everything.
Right, Luke's been very patient. Off you go.
Uncharacteristically patient. Jim, I just wanted to know, it's a very sincere question. There's not a loaded question or anything, but very, very sincere. Are you pleased now the Emirates is finished that Arsenal can financially compete at the top of the Premier League?
Yeah, delighted, mate.
Yeah. It's all worked out brilliantly.
It has. It's all gone entirely to plan.
This Mavropanos defender who's been signed... Mm. The way that Marcus said that, and Pete, you're right to pick up on it. It does make it feel like to me that him and Steve Boulder watching him on the training ground going, hey, he's good.
It's not a kinder surprise. It's not a kinder surprise. I didn't get a crazy crocodile. I'll keep that.
He's got one right foot and one left foot.
Do some football clubs like Chelsea and Arsenal, have they looked at the kind of the rental market in property? I thought, if you buy property and you rent it out, you can make money. No, it doesn't work.
Buy to rent footballers, yeah.
Loaning out, it doesn't work that way.
All clubs do it, though, don't they? I mean, this is two separate parts of the transfer policy, one of which is on fire, admittedly.
Not in a good way.
No.
you got Mesut Ozil eyeing the last helicopter out of Hanoi. Yeah.
Imagine that conversation.
See ya.
Arsenal, we're on fire at the moment. Yeah. No, we are actually on fire. Oh, yeah.
The warehouse that contains just plastic and fireworks is rapidly going down.
I would say fire would suggest a catalyst rather than just a calcification, so to speak.
A calcification of Arsenal.
Yeah, well, it's just a grinding to a halt, isn't it? Like arthritis, like the arthritic. Yeah.
I know what calcification means, Pete.
Well, why are you questioning me then?
Funny, isn't it?
Now Dad's back.
Yeah.
Come on, don't
the fight. Airing of grievances.
Let's not fight. Let's at least be happy for Theo Walcott.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay, because he's now up against Aaron Lennon for competition for places at Everton, which is wonderful, isn't it, really?
Yeah,
I saw a little stats showing how many assists and goals Theo Walcott got asked, and of course, you know, it's a decently, reasonably impressive number. Mm. But he was there for like 48 seasons.
He was there for 12 years, but his goals something like 1 in 4, which, you know, isn't terrible. But I think, like, the thing with Walcott, I think, that really sort of has shadowed his career at Arsenal, and I really hope for his sake that he can move away from this and that people allow him to move away from
and
this.
And fulfil his potential, Jim.
Well, quite, but that's it. There's this idea that he's been a disappointment in his career in general, and that is because, you know, he was expected to perform at a very, very high level from the age of 16 years years old, the World Cup thing didn't help him at all, and I think that had such a long-reaching negative effect. And
do you know whose fault it is?
Harry Redknapp's.
No.
It is Harry Redknapp's.
Sven.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
But before that, it was Redknapp.
Really?
Redknapp had him at Southampton and was bigging him up over and over again.
Yeah,
but he said loads of stuff about
it. But the fee was reported as being high as well, wasn't it? I think the fee was reported as being 16 million with add-ons, which then was so much money for a 16-year-old. So all of those things conspired to give this impression of Walcott, which is pretty unfair on him. And I just hope he kicks on at Everton. I think he'll do well there.
I think he scored 19 goals last season.
He did, yeah. I mean, I think that's his second best return as an Arsenal player. He got 21 one season as well.
He said Wayne Rooney was a big factor in his move to Everton. He was chatting to old Rooney, which I think is quite nice. The old England contingent there.
You love it when England get the band back together in any context.
I think I do.
Will Rooney sort of, is that kind of indicative of how Rooney is going to mature as a footballer? Will he move upstairs and become like an ambassador?
I thought
to
you meant
Everton?
Does Rooney need someone to do all his running for him? I thought you were going with that.
Sort of a piggyback sort of situation.
Yeah, I could see Rooney being an ambassador for Everton, definitely. Yeah. Already is, you could argue.
Yeah.
And he's scoring goals as well,
my goodness. Getting players in by the sounds of it.
Spoiling them.
What a deal that they've got. But yes, going back to Arsenal, Aubameyang's been linked there, as we'll see how that one plays out, and so on and so forth. Mkhitaryan, though, if they can get him, you sort of think, will he step on Ozil's toes? Is Ozil off as well? It's a tangled web.
If this transfer window ends with Sanchez and Walcott going and Mkhitaryan and Aubameyang coming in, I mean, that's not a bad squad still. It's going to take me a while to get my head around how that all works. But you're right, Mkhitaryan and Ozil play in similar positions. I don't know how that would work.
So do Aubameyang and Lacazette.
Well, quite, yeah. But I think, you know...
I don't mean this to sound like I'm just jumping on Arsenal every time, but it is a good bunch of names to have in there, and it's a good talented group of players. But it was not what you could call a coherent strategy.
Quite. No defensive midfielder, Luke.
No, right.
Yeah. That seems to have just been like put on the back burner permanently.
It's no good signing the player of the quality of Aubameyang if it means you have to farm Lacazette out wide, and he becomes even worse than he is at the moment.
I think it's more likely that actually it would be Aubameyang wide because of his pace, but you'd leave that one to Wenger.
Yeah. In other Mesut Ozil-related news, he's going to speak at the Oxford Union in February.
Yeah, that's a surprising one. He's very, very camera shy, isn't he? You don't see him interviewed a lot, and apparently there's talk that he's not particularly comfortable in English, which I assume must have changed if he's doing this.
But they would have he'd probably speak in German, you would imagine they have a translator, because Diego Maradona spoke there in 1995.
He did a lot of things.
Yeah, I remember there was a story that he was presented with an honorary doctorate, and it was for something like Inspiring Dreams or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
And apparently...
At Oxford, though!
Yeah, but I don't know if I've seen any video footage, or this is anecdotal, but someone said he was doing like keepy-ups with a ping pong ball up on stage and stuff, and really like having a lovely old time.
Play your strengths.
Yeah, I know.
I brought my mate along. He'll do the talk.
Yeah.
Although I think you don't need to say too many words. Was it Winston Churchill who spoke at the Oxford Union ones and just stood up and went, "Never give up, never give up, never give up," or something like that, and then walked off? No. And some people were like, "I feel a bit shortchanged there," but I just sort of get what he's saying. I'm not too sure about that one.
Yeah.
If it wasn't the Oxford Union,
maybe Ozil was just going to say, "Be yourself," and then go home.
Always try and play a through ball.
Yeah,
and there we are. Well, Arsenal.
Can I assist you?
Arsenal up against Roy the Boy and his Palace posse on Saturday. Palace only lost twice in their last 14 league matches. Those were matches against Arsenal.
This is another one that happened recently.
Yeah, right.
It's a funny little quirk, that. But yeah, it's going to be a tough game. But Arsenal have Laurent Koscielny, Nacho Monreal and Ozil himself all back in contention, which makes a huge difference to that team. But Palace are... They're not a prospect you want to come up against at the moment.
Oh.
Yeah, Crystal Palace have lost one of their last six and find themselves in 12th in the Premier League and are now 19-4 with Bet365 to win at the Emirates this weekend. £10 will return £57 and 50 pence, including steak.
Yeah, Big Veng's back in the dugout, is he not, after serving his ban for calling Mike Dean a disgrace?
Yep.
Among other things.
I enjoyed him. I can't remember which it might have been. Did they play Everton? Am I going mad?
Who?
Recently?
Arsenal.
During his ban, I can't remember. Either way,
they played Chelsea and...
It was Chelsea. Yeah. And he was booting hell out...
They played Bournemouth and Forest.
He was booting hell out of the back of somebody's chair when he was getting angry because he had to sit down.
One of the newspapers... I was on the radio to do the newspaper roundup that particular morning after an Arsenal game. One of the newspapers, might have been the Times, weirdly enough, did like a full page spread of a guy in the crowd watching Wenger watching the game.
Oh my goodness.
He said one of the most boring things I've ever seen committed to newspaper.
Too much news.
I know, right?
It's not enough news.
Incredible, incredible
stuff. Not enough news, too much to fill, I guess. Too much space. Paper.
Indeed, yeah. Well, we could do with a little bit more detail with regards to Newcastle United and Mike Ashley of late, because he's come out and said there was no deal with Amanda Staveley and that attempts to reach a deal have proved to be exhausting, frustrating and a complete waste of time.
Yeah. Has he read the T's and C's on the season ticket? This will be exhausting and a waste of time.
Weeks ago, Peter, we thought that Christmas had come later early. And now it looks like big old Ashley.
Another page. It was like, I think it was 10 years to the day that Keegan took charge. And Keegan said, never trust Mike Ashley.
Is that right?
To do anything.
Well, this could put Benitez in position in further
doubt. If I was Benitez, I'd be walking out the door right now, to be honest, because it's clear that Mike Ashley doesn't want to spend any money. Like, as I said, the only positive acquisition seems to be Kennedy on a loan deal from Chelsea. I mean,
I'm sorry, Pete, I just think you're so ungrateful. Possibly scored the same amount of league goals as Cristiano Ronaldo this season.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, you're right.
But, I'm eating humble pie about Hossley.
Are you gutted about this, Peter, or do you just think
truly thought it was in the office.
Gutted on individual items when you spend your life being consistently gutted like me.
But to be fair to Pete, he has consistently said that he didn't really think this would go through, knowing how Newcastle work.
And did we say that on his wedding day about his wife?
I never thought this was going to happen.
Yeah,
because I am a reprehensible individual.
Pete, have you had a lovely wedding day? Well, I'd probably be divorced this time next year.
Well, just taking a day at a time, really.
Oh, do you want to cut the cake? I'll probably cut myself.
No.
Oh, what a shame. What a shame.
What a shame. Hey, what a shame.
It's an interesting PR war, this, because I naturally fall down the side of the Staveley camp because of what I've heard, different bits and pieces. Mm. And they've said, as far as I'm aware, they've said there's still a deal on the table and we've not heard back from the Ashley camp about this. The first thing we've heard is this stuff in the press. Now, of course, they might not be telling the truth, but at the same time, there's still no reason for Amanda Staveley to be photographed in the crowd at St. James's Park. If you want to do a deal, do a deal. I mean, I'll come down the side of what Simon Jordan said. He's obviously a man not without fault.
Well, but, you always do come down on his side.
Well, I don't mind.
He blamed the Newcastle fans for not liking Ashley because he's Cockney, which is just bollocks.
No, but that's fine. I don't agree with that. But the particular issue I was going to talk about was that Simon Jordan, who does know about owning clubs because he's owned a Premier League club, said, if you really want to do a deal, go and do a deal. You don't have to sit in the crowd. Yeah,
never had to be a news story.
Yeah, exactly.
Which makes me think it was Mike Ashley's gig to start with, that whole crap about selling the club and all that stuff. Bottom line is, he cannot possibly, whether you can budget for players or not, you can't budget for a third relegation in 10 years. You just can't. No. Like, that's just not the way to run a club. So you can't wait until next month when the TV money comes in. You've got to put your hand in your pocket now. And if they don't put their hand in their pocket to the tune of, say, 30 million, Rafa's going to be out the door, because that's what I'd be doing. Mm.
The strangest thing for me about
then Keggy will be back.
And then Keggy will be back.
Third coming. The oddest thing for me about the whole kind of PR war that seems to be happening between the two parties is the talk that when Amanda Staveley met Mike Ashley in the Indian restaurant in Hampstead, Ashley wasn't expecting her to be there, and it wasn't supposed to be a scheduled business meeting, and he just goes there with his wife, and you just wonder, what is the story behind that? Who's pulling the strings on this? Like, is it Staveley's camp making it look like they're in talks when they're not, and why would Ashley deny it if they're not? It's all so confusing.
How do we know what's true and what isn't?
The thing that like makes me a little bit sad is the people who have to write about this every hour of the day, like the Lee Riders and the other people who work for like the Chronicle and stuff like that. Like, they have to write about Newcastle United every hour of the day and do this kind of clickbait headline. Yeah. Staveley has been spotted here, and then you click on it, and it's like, Staveley went to Pret for a dinner. Like, it's just, they have to write about nothing and truly nothing, just hot air and stuff, like for every hour of the day. It's sad, man.
Makes you want to vomit in a fireplace, doesn't it?
It really does.
What about this, though, Pete? Newcastle are 66-1 to win this year's FA Cup with Bet365. To £10 will return £670, including stake. Yeah. And I know for a fact that you think it's very likely to happen, so make of that what you will.
Well, they're playing Chelsea in the next round, so it depends on what team turns up, I suppose, isn't it?
Well, they're playing Man City on the weekend.
Kennedy will be cup tied.
He will be. But we know Man City are beatable now, turning our attention to the Premier League.
Well, Newcastle were closer than most to keeping the score down. Yeah, well, packing their box.
Fabian Delph's out.
You just think, what Mo Salah, Mane and Firmino do be replicated by a Hossolu?
Yeah, exactly.
Can he bring it
Christian Atsu? and Rolando Aarons.
I don't think Newcastle are as good as Liverpool.
You reckon?
It's unlikely.
We're better at defending. I love that.
It's unlikely that Newcastle will inflict defeat on Manchester City in their own house.
No.
But you know, we don't know for sure at this moment.
The Sky cameras smell goals because it's a late kickoff.
Newcastle literally aren't better than Liverpool at the back.
Yeah. No.
They've conceded more goals.
All right. Well, we look tidier at times. We don't have such high profile mistakes.
I don't think a manager can get away with that. Yeah, we look tidier at times. You can see another 100 goals, but we look very tidy at times.
We prove anything with facts.
We look tidier at times.
Tidy times.
Like a university student's bedroom.
Clean your room. No. Yeah. I've looked tidier at times.
Yeah. But does winning and losing really matter in football? Because, and I base this on what Neil Warnock said recently, his Cardiff City side, they're going to play Manchester City in the next round of the FA Cup after Cardiff beat Mansfield, of course. Warnock was in very bullish mood when speaking about the fixture, claiming, "We can't lose, whatever the result." So I know what you mean, Neil, but...
What do you mean? So that wasn't like, "We can't lose," or "You're in trouble." It's, "We can't lose."
Yeah,
it was very much that.
Tim Sherwood did a similar one on some overseas punditry show where he was talking about a Premier League team, I forget who, playing against a lower league team. And he said something like, I think it might be West Ham against Shrewsbury, maybe, for sake of argument. He said, West Ham, they literally can't win. I mean, the only way they can win is if they win.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
That was Stoke, wasn't it?
It was Stoke.
Right? It's been very visible lately.
Someone just punching words into the back of your head and just coming out of your mouth in like a random order.
That's rude for who you sit across from.
If they are, welcome to the Football Ramble.
there was an amazing quote once, talking of those kind of silly ones. And we love Ray Wilkins. We really do. He's a lovely chap. But he came out with something. And forgive me, I think Michael Cox said this to me. So forgive me, Michael, if I've got this quite wrong. But it's something along the likes of, "Well, what I love about John Terry, that he's a proper bloke and he lets other blokes be blokes." Something like that.
The funniest thing about Ray Wilkins is that whenever you speak to him and ask him how he's doing, he always says either one of the two following things: "I am dangerously well, thank you," or "I am devastatingly well."
I'm upsettingly well.
Unequivocal.
I'm flammably well.
Yeah, indeed, yeah. Well, Luke, what is our best bet with Bet365?
Well, Alex Murphy remains in the hot seat.
Oh, no.
He broke the duck, for which we are eternally thankful, because we're on a terrible run as a collective.
Yeah, yeah.
I had to even threaten to get Jim and Pete on the case for the bet of the week. So, the best bet with Bet365 this week is as follows. Afternoon Ramblers, delighted that the bet came off and we got some money flowing for a good cause. I was halfway through listening to last week's show when a friend messaged me to let me know I'd been selected. The win from Palace just topped off a great sporting weekend. On a side note, not only do I share the same name as RoboCop, as suggested by Pete or Jim last week, someone also told me once, my dad shares the same name as RoboCop's dad in the film, Russell.
Shut up! That's amazing!
I've Googled it to confirm, and luckily I was born a year before RoboCop came out, and therefore it's merely a freak coincidence, rather than my parents being crazed super fans of the film.
Russell RoboCop.
Talk to your brother, I'd buy that for a dollar.
Looking ahead to the weekend, he says it's quite tough, especially after Jim's warnings this week about going gung-ho the closer you get to the coveted hat-trick.
Yeah.
I've settled on going for Man City in the game to be over 2.5 goals.
Fuck off. And
it gets worse than this. And no in the both teams to score market. Man City will be a big win and clean sheet, to sound less confusing, which I believe is at 7-4. Sorry, Pete, when Hosselu scores and screws up the bet, I will take all the grief that's coming to me. So that's from Alex Murphy, who signs off, all the best, RoboCop/Alex Murphy. So that's over two and a half goals in the game between Manchester City and Newcastle, and knowing the both teams to score market. So we're looking for a 3-0 City win or better, really,
right,
or a 3-0 Newcastle win, which, let's be honest, is not going to happen. So it's priced at 7-4 with a Bet365, so our £50 will return £137.50, including stake, with all proceeds going to Prostate Cancer UK. Of course, you must be over the age of 18 to gamble, and do gamble responsibly. And for more information, go to begambleaware.org. Good luck, Alex.
Before we look ahead to the weekend, we've got to mention, just in some other football-y business, non-Premier League related, that Ronaldinho's brother and agent has renounced his brother.
Well,
in a way he has, because he said that his client and sibling's retirement from football has finally happened. He hasn't played a competitive match since 2015.
Yeah, Fluminense was last time he was playing.
Yeah, so
Fluminense.
He sort of knew that he'd retired.
But he's done some footstool and some charity stuff.
But this
he?
Is the official one, according to his brother. Now, Ronaldinho did say in a friendly match in Chechnya, is there such a thing as a friendly match in Chechnya, that he was too old to return to competitive action, which gave us a strong hint. So Ronaldinho, it seems official, this.
He's only 37.
Yeah, I know.
I get the... And the way that he plays, you imagine he could probably go on if he looked after himself. He doesn't look after himself. He's not looked after himself.
No right, chance right, of that.
But what I would say is that he would... presumably, he can, you know, take his 40 grand a week for whatever, as a man at 37, you know, playing in Brazil or whatever. Or he could get 25 grand per... Chechenian charity match, you know what I mean? For just appearing, doing like a Harlem Globetrotters kind of world tour.
Well,
he could pile one of them in every week.
That's what his brother said.
Just make more money like that.
They've been talking about doing something with the Brazilian national team, haven't they? So that'd be a money spinner.
Oh, he's not going to get back in that.
At the World Cup.
Yeah. Bring him on for free kicks or something.
He doesn't look after himself. He is very much a man who's looked after, isn't he?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Well, his brother did say, we will play a sort of a farewell tour after the World Cup, though. Which I think is the warm-up to the Ronaldinho farewell
tour. Absolutely.
So, yeah. He said Brazil, Europe and Asia, that's where they're going to head off to. Which is the epitome of a lovely old job. Messi posted a nice message to his former teammate, which ended, even if you decide to leave. Again, it's not definite. But by the fact that he hasn't played a competitive game since 2015, then we can think that this is it. Even if you decide to leave, football will never forget your smile. All the best, Ronnie.
Oh, well, that was lovely, isn't it?
It really was lovely.
Beautiful.
But in contrast, the other week this news came out, that Landon Donovan's coming out of retirement at the age of 35.
Yeah, he had a dig at Trump, didn't he? He bloody liberal.
Yeah, well, we shouldn't mention that. We don't want to upset people.
We don't want to trigger the triggerer.
Well, he last played professionally in November 2016, but he got to turn out for Mexican side Club Leon. And the Mexican league's decent. There's a lot of money sloshing around there.
There was a big piece kicking around. I can't remember who posted it, but about how MLS fails the Mexican and Latino players in the teams, because like they could be a lot more successful. Or MLS could be a lot more successful for the Mexican ball players, but they just don't do it for some reason. I
think there's two players over the age of Ronaldinho playing in the Premier League currently: Gareth McCauley and Julian Speroni. So Ronaldinho.
When you say you think, do you know that?
I just looked it up.
Yeah. Well, they do.
That's how I think. Yeah, there are.
My computer thinks.
I think Ronaldinho should come over.
Yeah.
Why not, man?
Yeah. Well, lovely.
One's a goalkeeper, and one's a bustling, hard tackling.
Have him as backup for Zlatan.
Do you think Ashley would splash out for a short-term contract?
in the fireplace of
seriously,
financial impropriety.
Man United hosted a press conference tomorrow, scheduled it, and everyone was like, oh, they're going to announce Alexis Sanchez. And Ronaldinho pops out, because he was linked in the past.
Yeah, he was, endlessly.
He got a standing ovation at the Azteca Stadium. In fact, was his last club not Quintero or whatever in Mexico?
I'm not sure. He also got a standing ovation at the Bernabeu as well.
He was and remains a joyful entity.
Yeah. Yeah,
there's nobody that couldn't be in a room with Ronaldinho and go, oh, you're brilliant.
Yeah, it was
fun time whenever he's around.
he's one of the finest footballers of our generation. And for those few years at Barcelona, it was unbelievable how good he was. And the only sort of thing that Barcelona, some Barcelona fans may say about Lionel Messi is, in contrast with Ronaldinho, is Ronaldinho would do skills and do stuff which you think, I've never seen that before. How on earth has he come out with that? And so you will find one or two Barcelona fans, just for that kind of thing, will say that he's their favourite player rather than the Messi.
But the favourite player isn't always the best player.
Well, okay, fair.
Because, I mean, that happened, you know, that Ronaldinho era was just before and slightly overlapping with the Messi era. Yeah. And I think that makes people forget quite how brilliant he was.
Well, one of the greatest collectors item for me, having seen in a football stadium, was a Ronaldinho assist to a fine Messi finish, you know, which I witnessed, which I was very pleased about.
They say Ronaldinho gets a standing ovation at the Bernabeu when he plays in that Clasico that time. But I mean, we've been to the Bernabeu. Everyone gets a standing ovation. They never sit down. They're always standing up.
Apart from Michel Pinas.
You're forgetting that he was a Barcelona player. Though.
I know, right? But I mean, they are standing up the whole time.
I think I gave him a standing ovation when it was Brazil, Jamaica at White Hart Lane.
Would it have been Craven Cottage or was it White Hot Lane?
No, it was White Hot Lane. Okay. I remember what from Seven Sisters Station.
Right.
Don't question my memory.
He's going weird.
We need to look ahead to the weekend.
I'm triggered.
Let's do it very quickly before Pete has a meltdown and we have to reboot him. Andrew Davison says, all week I've been looking forward to the return of Spelzy.
Yeah. I appreciate that.
Hashtag nice to have a Marcus in there.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah. You're the side.
That's what Argentina said. That's what Buenos Aires said.
Indeed.
Here's a more worrying one from Sean Smith, who says, unfortunately, I've been struggling with migraines lately. And I can't explain it other than they've been sprung up 4 times in the last fortnight, each time while I've been listening to the ramble.
Piss off. That's not nice.
If I get the same result, this might be the last ramble I hear for a while. Can Marcus put on an extra sultry, smooth tone for this episode to help?
I probably have without knowing it, but this is looking ahead to the weekend, so presumably he's looking ahead to hopefully not having a migraine.
So many people threatening to leave us.
I know. Yeah. What about this?
I go away for 2 weeks, boys, and this is what happens.
Migraines are miserable, to be fair.
They are. Well, I think we've helped him.
Josh Madison, I'm looking forward to the sweat on Paul Merson's head if Arsenal sign Mkhitaryan and Aubameyang to add Mavropanos, Kolasinac and Xhaka. There we go. Darius Panozzo, the delightfully named Darius Panozzo. Mike Dean rising to the challenge. The French referee, Tony Chaperon, laid down in the PSG game. The mind boggles about what he's going to do. I don't even know what game Mike Dean's doing this weekend, but I'm sure we won't forget it.
Well, we spoke about Chaperon.
Yeah, actually, Mike Dean is Man United Burnley, I believe.
Okay, right. So keep an eye on that.
Fairly big ticket then.
I imagine that. It'll be Mike Dean assaulting someone and Sean Dodge eating earthworm. What a game. There might be some football played as well. We don't know. And I'll finish with this one from Stuart McKeon. He says, I'm looking forward to hearing Alexandra Mitrovic and Elequim Mangala's inevitable collision from my house in Northern Ireland.
Yeah. Excellent. There we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble Preview, sponsored by Bet365. It's been a bloody pleasure being back among you all.
It's nice to have you back, Marcus.
Indeed. Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Peter.
Stay triggered.
Adios from me.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.